Welcome to She Struts Radio, where we give voice to women's stories, longings, pain, deepest heart's desires, and dreams, and support them in being unapologetically vocal, visible, and vulnerable women, happily claiming their place in the world. Now, here's your host, author and speaker, Deborah M. Ricks.
Greetings, greetings. Welcome to She Struts Radio. I am Deborah M. Ricks, and I am delighted, as usual, to be here this evening. This is just a lovely, overcast day, and I miss the sun, and yet I am very, very grateful to be here. And I want to thank you for joining me this evening to talk about the guts to live your dreams with an amazing young woman that I met a couple of years ago, Jordana Elizabeth.
Hello.
Yes, hi, Jordana. I'm going to formally introduce you in just a moment. She's just ready to roll. She's such a young professional, and I have so much respect for her. So I'm really excited about sharing her with you. Those of you who don't know her, never heard of her, you will be pleasantly surprised that such a young woman with such wisdom and so grounded. That's what I'm really impressed by. I want to invite you to check my website out, Deborah M. Ricks, or actually Deborah Ricks. You take the middle initial out, DeborahRicks.com. I'm a coach and a speaker and an editor and author of 3 books. And so I'm just glad to be here. I'm feeling a lot of gratitude. Today was a little bit kind of one of those days. I wasn't my little perky self. Yesterday was I was cloud nine. Today I was a bit in the valley. And yet I am grateful, very, very grateful. So Jordana Elizabeth is a Baltimore and San Francisco-based author. She's a journalist, model, radio personality, and feminist, and civil rights commentator. She will be embarking on the first leg of her book tour for her debut book, Don't Lose Track, Volume 1, 40 Selected Articles, Essays, and Q&As. Her book was just released January 29th, fresh off the press. Zero Books put her book out with her publisher. And so I said I met her a couple of years ago when I was working as an executive producer for the Anthony McCarthy Show at WEAA. And I can't recall precisely how we connected. She might. But I do recall this, that she had a way of getting her way in such an assertive way that it was not pushy, not rude, no arrogance, just a beautiful way of asserting herself in the world. And she reached out to me, and the next thing you know, and I mean, she was persistent. I do recall that. And she ended up on the radio show with her guitar. She came in studio with her guitar, and I think she had on a pair of boots. And she was accompanied by 2 people, I think I'm correct. And it was just a beautiful segment. Anthony interviewed her, and she sang and played her guitar. And I have one of her tracks, and I will let you hear it. I was just struck by it. It was just hauntingly beautiful, one of those songs that just reaches deep into your soul and just stirs things up. And so I will play that a little later so you can get a taste of Jordana Elizabeth's music. So welcome, Jordana, to She Struts Radio.
Hello. Thank you so much for that introduction. That was amazing. I appreciate it.
Sure. I am so glad to have you on. And uh, I I want to share you with other people, my audience, because I know as a woman who's mature enough to be your mother, and maybe some, I know how challenging it can be to live your dreams. And so for a young woman, just 29 years old, and when I met you, probably about 26, maybe 27, because it's been a couple of years, you've been living your dream for a while. So allow people to get to know you a little bit. Tell us a little bit about you. And what I'm curious about at this juncture is how did you even – I mean, what set the foundation for you being who you are? And so there's so many questions I have for you. So let's start with some basics, like tell us a little bit about what you're doing now, and then I want to hear you. I want you to answer that question, like where did you get this gutsiness from?
Right. Well, I am currently an author and a journalist. And I work with a plethora of arts organizations, and run a nonprofit called Public Private. It's a literary nonprofit to promote reading, and the website is, it's a pretty high-end website. I bring on my friends like Pulitzer Prize winning writer, Mark Fritz, who wrote the foreword for my book. And other young and seasoned writers to kind of put their best foot forward, but their best foot forward meaning their private work, their essays and poetry and things that people don't really see, which is why I say public-private, because, you know, I have a number of public musicians and writers who have very strong careers, but who will kind of not necessarily humble themselves, but have a chance to finally do the fun stuff, like make their own mixtape of their favorite music. And it doesn't matter what genre, you know, a lot of music journalists, and I am essentially a music journalist. I started out specifically as that. Publications want new stuff. Who's, you know, putting out the new music? They want us to write about, you know, what's up to the minute. And I allow my friends and writers to express themselves and maybe publish songs all from the 1950s and 60s, whatever they want to do, you know, so there's that freedom in that. Gutsiness, I guess I have to be courageous, but I have to be courageous to do my job. It's just a part of my life. You know, and it's a part of my career. I think if I had a different career, if I were a librarian or an accountant or someone who had the opportunity to kind of be in the background, then I wouldn't need as much courage and confidence, I guess. But you know, I love people, and I want to share my story because I want other people to be happy and to live their dreams. And so I kind of live this life to help others, to be very honest.
Let me read something that I got from your book. You said, "I didn't speak much until I was about 17 years old. I was deathly shy and daydreamed so much that reality scared the hell out of me."
I'm still a daydreamer.
How do you go from that then to being courageous to interviewing?
Go ahead. I'm still shy, and I say that on shows, and people do not believe it. They're like, "Bullcrap, you're not shy." I have a private world where, you know, I'm a writer. I get to stay to myself for a living. You know what I mean? It's a very solitary job. So 9 times out of 10, you'll find me in a library writing my articles, writing my books. You know, I crafted it that way. And as a child, I loved books and I loved reading. And so there was always that fantasy world and writing writing stories in my notebooks and things like that. So I, how did I go? Well, I decided to become a musician. And early on, I was an art curator in Denver at a very young age. Because I didn't have a degree. And I had a nice personality that people were attracted to and really liked, just in a natural way. And I noticed that. And it wasn't hard for me to walk into a gallery or into an event space and throw an event and bring bands in and have an all-ages show. And all-ages shows are still in demand because young kids, you know, can't get into 18 and 21 and up rock and roll shows. So I would throw shows for teenagers and they'd come in droves. So I was able to make a living that way. It was really survival. Because I didn't have a degree and I had to take care of myself. I left home at 16 and I had broken up with a boyfriend. I got into a really early relationship at about 16 to about 19. And, yeah, I just showed up and basically did what I had to do. And I guess that's bravery, but, you know, it was almost kind of fight or flight. It was very survival. And then over time, I just got so deep into it and became good at it. I enjoy throwing parties. I still do. We're throwing the after party for my book release in Baltimore, and I curated the whole lineup, and I booked it, and it's going to be really fun. So that it was survival, to answer your question.
Did you have any support as a child? What kind of parents did you have? I mean, you said here in your book, you said, I don't have a formal educational degree, but I have a PhD in individualism and irony. And so did you have parents that supported that? Because this is what a lot of people struggle with. They have had parents who said, you need to get a good government job. You need to go to college.
I was in college, and I have my parents are amazing human beings, and I am an independent and deathly private person. Which I've, you know, definitely tried to explain to you and I try to explain to a lot of journalists. Just when I say I'm private, and it's not just from the press, it's in general. So, you know, I made my choices and my parents, you know, when you're old enough and you're out of the house, you know, how much control do you really have? I made the choices to work hard and to work on a career very early on in my life. I got a good education in junior high. I went to a magnet school and the magnet high school, and I attended a junior college at 16 years old. So I was living on campus, and by 19, I moved off campus and moved to Denver to start my career in the music and arts industry. But, you know, there's no, I don't want to criticize my parents for anything. I've always just been a very independent young person.
Well, I wouldn't call it criticism. It's just an observation. I'm really interested in, you know, just knowing, but we'll live with that answer. I mean, the thing is that so many people, mm-hmm. people have been conditioned, and maybe you can't can't really relate to that. But so many people have been conditioned to live the American dream, which you talk about in your book, that you say the American dream I've mm-hmm. never once in my life gave a shit about it. Therefore, right. I am a freak. And when you say that, you know, I can relate to that in this way. It is very odd for a young African-American woman to know so young what to do and to go out into the world, just to step out there and do what she wants to do on her terms. And so I'm always curious, where did this come from? Where did this gutsiness, this way of being that's unapologetic, where did it emerge from? And I think most people want to know that, especially if they're in their 30s and 40s and 50s and maybe 60s and 70s, and they're saying, still don't have the courage to live my dreams. And that's why I want, you know, to I'm curious, well, if you have parents that supported that, then people can say, well, okay, I talked to my
mom yesterday, and I just, you know, I'm at an age where I'm just pretty much just like, thank you for giving birth to me, you know. I called her, told her about the book, but, you know, I'd been so busy that I hadn't been able to call her for about 3 weeks, so I would just kind of text her every Saturday and apologize, look, I'm in a meeting today, I apologize, you know, and I catch up with her when I can. Again, I've always been that way, even as a teenager. I didn't have a phone for years. I was just very private, working on my craft and working on my art. My mother is independent, and she was an entrepreneur. She did have a woman's group that she put together, and I did help her, you know, put together newsletters and things like that. She entertained cocktail parties at her house and things like that. So, she was social and had a really nice home. So there was a lot of interior design stuff that I learned, and just kind of learned how to be classy and charming. My mother's very beautiful, and she's very classy and charming. And I guess, you know, I just kind of, you know, learned that way, how to keep myself looking nice, how to dress nice, and how to be simple and kind. But for the most part, it was all very intrinsic. You know, God has a plan for everybody. And, you know, when I hear that there are people who are criticizing themselves, saying that I don't have the courage to do something, well, that just may mean that it may not be your destiny. You know, not everybody can be an author or a rock star or whatever. And, you know, Saul Williams, the poet, said to me today, he said, and it's been running through my head all day. He said, usually what you are looking for is looking for you. Okay? That's been running through my head all day. And we were talking about celebrity. We were talking about Kanye West and others and Dave Chappelle. And I was asking him, you know, what makes these people special? Well, he said, you know, hard work. So a lot of it is destiny, and a lot of it is perseverance. Do you have the guts to put everything on the line? Do you have the guts to be broke? Americans want to be comfortable. You know what I'm saying? We want to have that American dream. You want to have your house. You want to have your couch. You want to have your cable. You want to have your internet. You want to have your iPhone. You want to have your vacuum cleaner, your espresso machine. I've never had any of that. I've never owned a blender. I just don't desire it. I look around the kitchen. I move into, when I move into homes, I usually move into furnished rooms just because I travel and I don't want to carry around a bunch of furniture. But I look around the kitchen, and it's just like I didn't learn how to use a French press until like last year. You know, it depends on what's important to you. Are you going to spend that $60 you know, on a bottle of Jameson to keep your bar up when you have your friends over to watch football, which is fine. Or are you going to choose to take that $60 and buy a book and buy a number of books and buy tools to if you want to crochet, if you always wanted to crochet like your grandmother? Are you going to spend that $60 and go to Joanne Fabrics? I don't know if that still exists. I'm dating myself with that one. But and buy your yarn. That's what I'm, it's your choice. And Americans, you know, I've never had a car. You know what I mean? Am I going to spend $400 a month on my Toyota Camry, or am I going to spend that $400 to take a plane to L.A. to go interview this artist? It's your choices, you know, what you do with your resources.
I love it. I absolutely love it, because you really nailed it. We have we're making choices all the time, and you, when you said Americans want to be comfortable, you nailed it, because that's what we have been seduced, many of us, into thinking that that's more important than living our dreams. And if, you know, let's say you have $1,000 coming in a month, you gotta you get to decide how you're going to spend that $1,000. And the American dream, the world will say, the American, the Western way would say, like you said, get that table, make sure you have a nice car, make sure you have nice, you know, these clothes that you get from, you know, these nice department stores or boutiques. You have to. So what you're doing is, you're a consumer, and I wrote this down. It's funny, because earlier I wrote down a series of words, and two words I put together. You can be a consumer, or you can be a creative. You can create, and that's what you're choosing. You're choosing to use your resources, whatever they are, to create in the world. To put into the world something that never existed, whereas we are being seduced into being consumers to take to take to buy that blender and let it sit on a counter like mine has sat for years. I haven't used it.
Y'all know, don't make no smoothies. You don't even.
I know. I haven't made a smoothie yet, but I That's the seduction, and we have fallen into it, and that's why I find you fascinating, because you did not fall into it. Some people fall into it and then wake up later and say, what the heck? And I'm one of those people, so that's why I can relate to wanting the American dream, getting the house, the car, doing all of those things. And I don't have any problems having done those things, but now I'm at a place now, it's like, I want to spend my money. When the money comes in, I want to spend that on the things that give me the experiences and allow me, as you said, to create. You get to get on a plane and go and do an interview. You get on a train and go to train to New York today.
Right. I took the boat bus.
The boat bus. And then you go up there and you interview this legend. Or you have a day with him or whatever. And what a beautiful use of your money, your resources.
Absolutely. And he was so pleased. I was able to, you know, I gave him a book. You know, I handed it to him. Saul Williams is an amazing poet, actor, writer, just a musician, just all around amazing person. And, you know, he was so chill when I gave him the book. He said, can I have this? I also gave the book to the CEO of what makes me a publication that I write for. And you know, we meet these guys, these leaders, you know, and we think that, you know, oh, this is a consumer. They're not going to care. Most of them were like, can I have this? My boss was just like, you're not getting this back. You know what I mean? You know, it's sincerity about what you put out. But you were talking about giving. Right. Giving is important. And what Americans have what we've lost is that we don't realize that you have to give to receive. And it doesn't even mean that it has to be material things, but your presence, you know. When artists know that I'm getting on a plane to come out to kick it, to just hang in their studio, or to come to their show when I'm very busy, you know, to do these things, people appreciate your presence. And the American family, you know, especially in 2015 with these telephones and with all this digital stuff, we're losing human connection. And to answer your question about, you know, growing up, I was just never into it. I grew up in a middle-class family, and my mother worked her way up and made a good amount of money. I grew up dressing well and eating well and going to country clubs and things like that. It was just never anything I desire. I have never desired to drive. I don't get it. It looks like a big metal thing, like a big metal purse that I have to carry around. Like every, you know, I look at cars and I'm like, that looks heavy. That's what my mind says. I'm in my publicist's car right now, so it's probably pretty funny. But that's what my mind says. It says, that looks really heavy. That is a 2,000-pound piece of metal that I would have to take care of and maintain. I don't know if I want that responsibility. That's what my mind says. That's who I am. It doesn't mean I just, it's not, so I don't know why I didn't buy into it. I don't know who, it wasn't my parents. It's just, I'm just different. And, you know, I had to accept that, you know,
Did you know, because when I looked at your dedication, right, you dedicated your book to your two grandmothers, your great aunt, your mother, and then Harriet Tubman, and to all the women and little girls who the world has seemingly rejected and overlooked, I do this all for you.
Yeah.
Where does that come from?
Because I know that globally women of color are oppressed, murdered, raped, maimed, silenced, unable to become educated. They have their clitorises chopped off and sewed up to the point where they walk down the street and urine runs down their legs and they become outcasts. I know how women of color and women all over the world are treated. And I know that the opportunity that I have is a blessing, and I try to use it to the fullest every single day, because I didn't have to be born here. I didn't have to be born with freedom. I could have been born, you know, the year Harriet Tubman. I could have been born before Harriet Tubman existed, so I would have been stuck plantation. I could have been born in Afghanistan, in Yemen right now. I could be stolen by Boko Haram right now. I could be abused and living in ISIS territory in fear right now. God gave me the opportunity to live in a country, and there's sexism, there's racism, there's a lot of stress and systemic issues that happen here. But I know I'm free. And even if I were born in the 1940s, you know, so that I wouldn't be free as free as I am right now. So I live it to the fullest, to the peace for the people who can't, for the women and the young girls right now who are being raped and beaten and who are in fear, even down the street, prostitutes and sex trafficking, the women that we don't see and that we don't hear. That's why I do it, because God protects me.
And you indeed live freely. You live a free life, and it is beautiful to observe. I have a daughter that's 21, and more than anything in the world, I want her to be free, to feel free, to know she's free, to be happy, to live life on her terms. And it's interesting because she has told me, Ma, I don't want a couch, right? We were talking.
Right.
I don't want, she's like you, I don't want things. Now, she does like clothes, and you probably do too because I look at your clothes in the pictures. But she is clear that she wants to travel the world, to live as a citizen of the world. And for me, that is the greatest joy, to watch her, to know that she's, you know, that that's important to her. And when I think of you and I listen to you, I hear your value system. Your values are really laudable. I mean, because to be even thinking about other brown women and girls across the world, And to know that you're doing what you're doing because some of them won't get to do it. It's just a beautiful thing. And so
I'm going to let
you respond, and then we're going to go and listen to your music, and then we're coming back and we're going to talk some more, and you're going to share about your tour and some other good things. So,
sure. Go ahead. Gratitude takes time. It's a discipline. You know, I don't live an easy life. You know, I got up at 5:30 this morning, got on the BALT bus, met Saul for an hour and a half, ran across Manhattan and almost missed my bus by 6 minutes. Got picked up, had a glass of water, and talked to you. Now, we have to realize that that's physically and emotionally demanding, you know. So I'm not, you know, there, life isn't hard no matter what we choose. That's the point of life. It's a school and it's a test. So I don't want to make everybody feel like, you know, I'm happy-go-lucky. I'm fulfilled. I'm blessed and I'm honored. But that is a perception that I choose, you know. So we have to make sure that we're choosing gratitude. And, you know, so what if you like your couch and you like your blender? Just be grateful for it, because we always be complaining about what we do and what we don't have. Just thank God, you know, that our family, that your family's healthy, that, you know, just little things, you know. Gratitude is very important. In this song that you're about to play, Winter, it's actually a pretty dark song, and it was a freestyle, and you'll hear the song, and you'll realize that there are hard aspects to it just by listening, you know, just the hard aspects of my life just by listening to the song, you know.
Well, I'm going to play it, and when we come back, we will continue our conversation with Jordana Elizabeth, journalist, author, musician, singer, songwriter.
Yes. And that was Jordana Elizabeth's song, Winter. And I heard it on YouTube, and it was a little clearer, a lot clearer. And it's just, I couldn't even, I'm going to tell you, I am aware that sometimes we have sadness that's kind of just living in us. And some music I can't even listen to because it's triggering that. And so, but I know that sometimes it's like, okay, I'll listen through it. So sometimes we need that so that we can heal those sad places inside of us. And that song, when I first heard it, I had to turn it off. And it was because of the beauty that it struck something inside of me. And I just turned it off. And then I went back to it later and listened to it full out, the entire thing. And so if you'd like to hear that track, go to YouTube and type in Jordana Elizabeth's name, and it should come up. It's called Winter, and I thought it was just exquisite. So
and thanks so much to producer Matt Cintrella, by the way. I want to give him a shout out. He played keyboards and composed the music, so I wanted to shout him out for that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm going to continue to ask you questions, and I'm going to open up the line because I want people to get in on this conversation. They may have some questions for you that I haven't asked and I won't ask, and so they I want them to be able to, you know, have a comment or a question. And so if you have a comment or a question, feel free to press 1. And I will cue you in, and you can join this conversation. So when I look at your, I was reading your book, and you're such a powerful writer in that it's so clear, it's simplistic, and that's what makes it really powerful. I remember, because I'm a writer, I remember when I used to think that good writing was complicated and you had to use big words and all of that. I'm sure that's my law school training. That was my law school training there. But I had to come full circle and understand that it's good writing is communicating. And so I really enjoyed your book. And so I want you all to know that they can get your book via Amazon. How would you like for them to get your book?
Yes, Amazon.com, Don't Lose Track, Volume 1, 40 selected articles, essays, and Q&As, and hopefully you can find the link and at least the title on Deborah's website, and you can just lock it in on Amazon.com in the search bar, and it'll pop up. You get it on Kindle, and you can get a physical copy as well. It's been
so. We're
going to
talk.
Go ahead.
We're going to talk then. Go ahead.
No, I'm
go ahead.
Good.
Okay. So, because I wanted to move into talking a little bit about some of the things that you're doing now. I know that you have a book tour, and I want people to know about that. Because will you be doing any singing at your tour? All talking.
Yeah. In San Francisco, I'm playing a friend's birthday party at a music venue called Amnesia. It's one of my favorite places. I've thrown so many events there, and Jesse Wolitz is a booking agent under the name of Pee Wee Play. It's her birthday, and I'm probably going to play some guitar and sing and talk a little bit about the book. And in San Francisco, the book will be available at Green Apple Books. So if you're in the Bay Area, you can find the book there.
Wonderful. So I have a...
But the other events, I'm just going to be reading. So.
Okay. So what we're going to do is I'm going to allow some folks to join this conversation, and then
I want you to talk about your tour. And there's something else that I have, like some a word game that I want to play with you. So, and
okay.
There's one other thing there may have been, and I can't think of what it is, but it'll come back if it's meant to. So, 443-928. Welcome to Street She Struts Radio.
Hi. My name is Joy, and I am really enjoying listening to Jordana Elizabeth, mainly because I am an aspiring writer. So I have questions. One, if she could give me some more information about public-private, because that really piqued my interest. And two, outside of Saul Williams, who is your most favorite person to interview?
Hi, Joy. Thank you so much for asking. Public-Private is a nonprofit literary organization, www.publicprivate.org. So looking for the K, so remember that, guys. I started it because I do interview celebrities a lot for my living. And I've been in the public for a very long time. I think in about 4 years, I'll have been in the industry for half my life. And public-private is just a way, like I mentioned, for young and aspiring writers and musicians, and also very seasoned writers and musicians, to kind of expose themselves through their writing and through their art, complete freedom. There's no guidelines, and there's no editing. Obviously, I read things as a proofread as the editor, but if I like it and if I like you, you throw it up. You could have written it 10 years ago. You could have written it 10 minutes ago. Complete freedom. And I just got that from being under the confines, which I'm very, really grateful for, to have a job, but being under the confines of editorial work, where I have to do what I'm asked a lot of the time and put my spin on it the best I can. Favorite artist to talk to? I really like Meadow. They're good friends of mine. They're a great band. I've interviewed them a number of times. These are underground rock and roll guys, by the way. Tony Joy is a great musician. Anybody super famous, but Ishmael Butler of Diggable Planets and now Shabazz Palaces is always really interesting. I talked to Chad Smith, the drummer of the Red Hot Chili Peppers, who was very down to earth, a Detroit guy, and just had a great personality and attitude. So, those are my answers.
Thank you.
Hey,
so, is that how people can reach you if they wanted to reach out to you through your website?
info@publicprivate.org. Again, public is with a K. And those emails do go directly to me. You can also send letters to jewriting@outlook.com. That's how you can connect with me as well. But any inquiries or anything, any business, you need to contact my publicist, Summer Goodman, at summerjoy@gmail.com, summarjoy@gmail.com.
Thank you, Joy, for calling. keep listening. Okay, so I know you have a tour coming up. Actually, when does it start? Tell us a little bit about that.
The tour starts on February 11th.
Okay.
Sure. The tour starts on February 11th in Baltimore, Maryland, at Red Emma's Bookstore at 7:30 p.m. Then February 16th, we're off to the West Coast in Seattle at Left Bank Books, featuring Sub Pop Records artist Kat Harris of V Satisfaction. She's going to be reading. And then we move on to Portland, Oregon on February 17th at In Other Words. And after that is San Francisco at Amnesia on February 19th. Then we move to Los Angeles, which is going to be held at a friend of mine's house. It's going to be kind of a semi-private event. So also Baltimore is going to feature guest readers, playwright Teresa Columbus, and musician Afia Lydia. So I'm really excited about that.
And where can they find us? Can they go to your website and see this?
You can go to my Facebook page, www.facebook.com/Jordana, EJORDANNAHE. I have a Tumblr, JordanaElizabeth@tumblr.com. I have a Twitter, @LoveJordana. I would say just put my name in the Google and you'll be able to find all my social media and find information on the tour.
What would you say to people who they aspire, like Joy, to be a writer, musician, to travel, because you wrote a piece in your book called, I love the title of this, let's see, How to Survive as a Broke-Ass Writer.
Yes.
I love that. So,
well,
what would you say
first
to
of all, that's based off of the website and the book, Procast Stewart. Thank you, Stewart, for giving me the opportunity. He's a travel writer, and he had a couple of books, San Francisco and New York, and I think a national travel guide. So Procast Stewart has a website. Why don't give me all the credit for making up the name Procast Writer. It was just a play on the words. So again, thank you, Stuart, for the opportunity. I just learned through trial and error. The number one thing is you cannot love money, and you cannot be a materialist. I think, was it Virginia Woolf who wrote this book about being a woman writer and saying, you know, one must have money and her own room to write. And if you go on that, then I don't know what to do for you. it's not a full-time day job. Now, I do it. Sometimes I have part-time jobs. I work at art schools. I have a lot of skills, and that's what the column is about, honing your skills. If you're in a city, can you nanny? Can you cat sit? Can you bag sit? Do you have practical domestic skills that you can use when you need to supplement your money? If you have a degree, can you teach? Can you tutor? Can you do these things? When you are depressed and you have a deadline, how do you get your broke ass out of bed and do what you have to do? When you are in a relationship and trying to balance your writing career and dating and relating, just trial and error and experiences. I think on I think in the right before the column section, it says, you know, to write a good column, you have to, I think I said I've done a lot of things and failed and learned in retrospect, you know, what I'd done wrong. And not necessarily wrong, but I don't believe in right or wrong in life, you know. But to write a column, you have to kind of get out there and live life and have some wisdom. And that's the whole thing about, you know, the American dream. The American dream teaches you to go to work and come home and sit on the couch and then go to Hawaii and Disneyland once or twice a year. Do you know what I'm saying? And it teaches you to live a very structured life where you're kind of going in a circle. And you're living by a set of rules. And so it's very hard to write a column if you've had the same friends for 20 years and the same partner for 30, which is great and beautiful, and I envy it at times. But, it's just kind of about getting out there and living life and not being afraid to not have everything so damn picture perfect all the time, you know?
Yeah, you say that in your book, to write a column, you have to have some messed up experiences and learn from them.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to write a column, live life and listen more than you speak.
Mm-hmm.
Watch more than you illustrate and make sure you keep your true reader in mind at all times. If not, you would just be writing Bridget Jones' Diary. Wait, that went on to make a bazillion dollars. Carry on, then, I guess. I love that.
Yeah.
So, I love that.
You got to have a sense of humor. Have a sense of humor about life, too.
Yeah. And that was perfect. I love Bridget Jones' Diary. I love that movie. I didn't read the book, but I love the movie. And I think you're two of those movies.
Mm-hmm.
And because actually, though, the thing about Bridget Jones' Diary is that she had a messed up life.
Right.
And she was a writer, right? So, I find it interesting that you say that, but then you say you're private, you know? There's just so many, I guess there's contradictions in life, right?
Well, and I was on another podcast and we talked about a paradox, and, you know, people try to call me out on that. And it's just like, well, you know, if you read the columns, I'm not necessarily talking about myself. You know what I'm saying? And sometimes a lot of the practical advice seems logical to me, and I think in the piece as well, I've said that I've watched other people's relationships. From a very young age, I've watched people's relationships come together and fall apart, and I was able to kind of see objectively or from the outside, you know, what could have happened. So that's where listening more than you comes from. Because sometimes I'm just looking around and observing and seeing, you know, what causes a broken heart or what causes a failure. You know, America and, you know, the world, we love to see people fail. We love to see people fall apart. And, you know, I choose to kind of have empathy with that and try to help people avoid. But, yeah, a rule in my life is to, I watch other people, and a lot of the times I can avoid getting in trouble if I just listen either to my elders or if I just say, hey, don't do that. You know, so it's a balance of my mistakes and learning from others' mistakes.
Well, what would you say has been your greatest struggle or challenge living this free, location independent lifestyle?
Money. You know, I'm not wealthy. I believe one day I will be, frankly. But I choose to earn a living, and I choose to earn a powerful living through authenticity. You know, in the entertainment business, I probably could have lied and cheated my way $2 million years ago, you know, or not been true to myself in regards to the being. And I am a model. You look at my pictures, and they're a little provocative, and I'm, you know, I'm a pretty young lady and all this stuff. But that, all of that is on my own terms. All the clothes are from friends of mine who I trust, you know, who dress me. I'm stylists and fashionistas, and a lot of the clothes are clothes that I choose. I choose to live authentically, and that's why, you know, I go up and I can hang out with a celebrity and not say, oh, here's my mixtape, here's my... No, I gave Saul the book because he's in it. You know what I'm saying? But I'm not going around, you know what I mean, flying across the country and going to parties and handing out my book. Do you know what I mean? There's a level mm-hmm. of trust that I want to have in my career more than money, you know? You could have a lot of money and people don't trust you or like you, you're going to be sad. And I don't want to be sad. 24/7, everybody gets sad, but, you know.
Wow, beautiful. So if you'd like to get in on this conversation, if you'd like to ask Jordana a question or make a comment, I'd press 1, and I will make sure you are queued in so that you can let your voice be heard. You're listening to She Struts Radio, and we're talking about the guts to live your dreams with Jordana Elizabeth. And I'm enjoying this conversation because there is no money, amount of money, because I was just listening to Lisa Nichols last night, watching a YouTube video, and she said she has billion-dollar friends, people who earn billions, and they are unhappy. Mm-hmm. So we have, you know, I think it comes a time, you just learned it early, but I know that for many people, they have to first go the American dream way before they get to a place where they realize that none of those things, including money. Now, I want money. Money is desirable. It's just that if you build your life around chasing money and that's your greatest value, there will come a time that you will realize that it won't bring you the fulfillment and happiness that doing your art, traveling the world, cultivating rich, harmonious, loving relationships, having great health, all of those intangible things. And it is beautiful to see and know a young woman who's doing that. And so no time that that's too, you're too young or too old.
That's right. I think my mother learned how to ride a bike, I think, at like 38 or 39, you know. And, you know, now I think it's 56 or 57, she wants to go bungee jumping. You know what I mean? And you think that I'm the courageous one. If you read the foreword of my book, I talk, you know, kind of about my parents, like, oh, you think, you know, this all came from me. So she kind of likes, you know, extreme sports and things like that, and traveling as well. It's never too late to get in touch with your heart. And the number one thing, and that's been a lesson that I've been learning lately. I'm a thinker. I'm very intelligent. By the grace of God, and my lesson has been stop thinking and listen to your heart, and I have been working on that for the last few weeks, because my heart doesn't speak the same as my brain, and for a long time I've been mixing those two messages up, which has been mixing up my most intimate opportunities. Now, I have a lot of opportunities, you know, and you can let people get arm's length, you can let people get eyeball length, you can let people get, you know, a yard away or a mile away, you know. But when it comes to relationship with yourself, relationship with God, and true intimacy with another person, you've got to learn the language of your heart. And it doesn't speak the same way. You can't hear. It's not a voice in your head. And I'm learning that. And it's really hard, to train into go with this kind of feeling in different language that comes from your heart.
Wow, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. We have a caller that wants to join this conversation. Sure. And let's see. 443-271.
Yes. Hi. How are you? How are you
Hi,
both?
Hello.
It's been very interesting listening to you, and I'm not going to hold up your talk, but actually I had two things to say, and just as I was
waiting,
you addressed, oh, I'm so sorry. My name is Marguerite.
Marguerite.
Hi. How are you?
I'm Marguerite.
Hi, Deborah and Georgia.
How are you?
Right?
I thought that was your voice. I wasn't sure.
Yes.
It's good to hear your voice again.
Thank you. But I'm enjoying this talk. And so I had two things to ask about. And one of them, as I was waiting, Georgia, you started to address it. I wanted to know your perspective on the heart and the feeling nature. So I could so resonate with some of the things that you did have an opportunity to say. But the other thing that I wanted to sort of ask you to talk about is if words don't teach and you learn experience, what's your take on the idea that, or the idea of making mistakes? Are there really mistakes, or, you know, if that's how you really learn, then, you know, what form or what, you know, perspective you have on the idea of a mistake? And
well,
so I'll let you answer that.
Sure. I personally believe that life is a school, and I believe that we choose to come here with God's blessing to, and again, this is my personal perspective, but I believe we choose to come here with God's blessing to work things out in our own spirits and in our own hearts. Mistakes. And the only mistakes that I really understand at my young age is when we hurt other people. We can make mistakes and forget things and drop things and, you know, and get fired and, you know, and not be perfect and all those things, and that sucks. That's hard. I struggle when I break other people's hearts, which is rare. I don't do it. I don't feel that I do it a lot. I don't know. But it hurts me, when I hurt other people. Those usually are the mistakes that I pray care of and fixes over time and heals over time. But, you know, I mean, doing silly things, if you don't do something silly, you don't learn how to do it better. Life is about repetition and your skill set. You know, if you continue to do something 100,000 times, you're going to get better at it. So, yeah, trying to love people and doing our best not to bring harm to others, I think that's the only, in my mind, at this young, this young juncture in my life is a mistake, hurting others, you know, is a real, a true mistake.
Okay.
But, of course, now that I think about it, I'm going to finish this up really quickly. it could be a lesson that the other person could learn, or a lesson that, that you know, we could learn on how to heal and how to grow and bring strength as well in relationships. So, you know, there's different ways to look at it.
All right.
Did I answer
Thank
your
you,
question?
Marguerite. Well, yeah, I just really wanted to hear your perspective on it. It's not like it was a right or wrong answer. I just wanted to know your take on it at this point and your expansion, I'll call it.
Sure. I think life is beautiful, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I can tell. So thank you very much. And like I said, I appreciated you talking about your perspective from the heart and your feeling nature, because that was going to be my second part, but you started to address it just as I was holding. So
Wonderful.
Thank you for that. Yeah. Yeah.
You're very
thank
welcome.
Thank you, ladies.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Marguerite.
You're welcome.
Marguerite
thank
is
you.
pretty amazing. I hope you don't mind me sharing what I'm about to share. Not unless you're a mind reader, you might not know what I'm going to share.
Right.
Are you Marguerite?
I don't mind you, you know, sharing your perspective, and I am not a mind reader, but, you know, have at
it. Well, you went to this. Didn't you live in India for a year?
I did.
Mm.
And here's the part that it would be amazing alone in and of itself that a black woman just goes to India and lives there for a year. But what makes it particularly remarkable to me and admirable is that Marguerite doesn't have sight, physical sight, right?
Exactly. Right.
Wow.
Exactly, yeah.
Wow.
And I want people to hear that, because I really do have the utmost respect and love for you, Marguerite. And when I found out that you were traveling to India and maybe some other places I heard about, and I haven't seen Marguerite in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And to listen to you and to just to speak to you again and to hear Jordana, what we get to be present to is that there are no limitations except
Amen.
The ones that we create.
Yeah.
Create.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. You're
right. We're both the living examples.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know?
Well,
you're
that's
right,
inspiring
right.
for me to hear.
Well, it's an opportunity for us to know that we're all in it together, and it's exploration. We're explorers and pioneers, and I asked about mistakes because I've learned, and I'm a lot older than you are, but I've learned that those mistakes actually were a bouncing off point. The things that I thought were mistakes, they were bouncing off points for expansion of all that life
sure.
is, and not just for me, but for, you know, for eternity and for the universe at large. And so it's life-affirming and life-giving. So
absolutely.
Yeah, so I'm like I said, I'm delighted by what you're doing and the way you're moving forward in your life, and you know, it's really clear that you've got lots of adventures to share and to experience, and so I appreciate you sharing that with us.
Well, thank you. I'm humbled, and I appreciate your calls.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you, Devorah.
Oh, so you're so welcome. You're so welcome. You are my shero. Yes, you are. Yes, and you have been for many years. Thank you
well,
for joining us this evening.
Yes. So I'll sit back and continue to listen. Thank you, ladies.
Thank
okay.
you.
Okay. Take care.
We have another caller. Let's see. 443-251. Welcome to She Struts Radio.
Well, what's up?
251. Yes.
Hello.
Hi, how you doing? What's up, Asia?
How are you?
Good.
Hello, and who are you?
You know, Mr. Barnes.
Well, hello, nice to meet you.
Always a pleasure.
You have a question?
No, I was just listening.
Oh, okay, you pressed one. Your hand, it looks like you pressed one. That's why you didn't know. Okay. That must have been an accident. Okay. Keep listening, Mr. Bond. So we have about 15 minutes or so, and I'd like for you to, Jordana, to give out your information, and then I have a couple of word games. I just got a word game I just want to throw out to you, play just to see.
Sure.
Give out your information again and let people know how they can, if they're here in Baltimore, they can come to, they can go to Red Emma's on the 11th of February, which is next Thursday.
Red Emma's Bookshop on North Avenue is an amazing place. 7:30, I will be speaking and reading also some original works that are not in the book. And I will be signing books. So there will be books available for you to buy there. Also, you can find the book on Amazon. The book is called Don't Lose Track, Volume 1. Selected 40 selected articles, essays, and Q&As by Jordana and Elizabeth. To email me and write me a letter, my email is jewriting@outlook.com. And you can follow me on Facebook, facebook.com, Jordana E, and Twitter at Love Jordana.
Yes, yes. And so if you're in the DMV area or you're in the Bay Area, get out and see this woman. She is going to deliver. And she said at one or two of the events, she will even be singing and she'll have her guitar, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. Really quickly, we'll be hitting the Northeast in March and April, so I'll be in New York March 20th at Blue Stockings Bookstore, and we'll be hitting Boston and Philadelphia. We'll be in Pittsburgh on February 27th, so keep an eye out, and keep an eye out for the tour date.
Yeah, so I may pop up at one of those places myself, probably. Yeah, I mean, who knows? I got a couple of friends in New York and Philadelphia as well. So
awesome.
So here we go. Yeah, I Baltimore is lovely. I love Red Emma's, but next week I have something scheduled. I'm moving, so I got that scheduled. So
okay.
So let's do this. So I'm just going to say a word, and you just respond with whatever comes up for you, okay?
Okay, sure.
Money.
Time.
Sex.
Love.
Men.
Beautiful.
Freedom.
Happiness.
Love.
I was going to say perfection, and then life came to my head, but I don't know if I believe in perfection, but that was the word that came to my head first.
Confidence. Wow, because I was going to say beauty next, so beauty.
Blessing.
I have really enjoyed this conversation. Jordana Elizabeth, she is a Baltimore and San Francisco-based
author, journalist, model, radio personality, and feminist. Haven't used that term, haven't said that term in a while. When I read that, I was like, interesting. She's a civil rights commentator, and she is on tour now. Starts next week. She's touring. She's talking about and reading from, no doubt, her book, Don't Lose Track, Volume 1, 40 Selected Articles, Essays, and Q&As. And she is, in my opinion, a pioneer, as Marguerite said. We all are. If you're living your dreams, you're a pioneer. If you're living on your terms, you're a pioneer. And so what would you like to share with people, just some closing words, just around living your dreams? I use the term guts because I've worn that word courage out, even though I love that word courage, because it means heart. The root word is core, and it means heart. So it takes heart. It really does take heart and some guts and some other stuff to really live on your terms. So somebody may be listening, and they just need to hear, you know, how do you navigate the struggles, or like you talked about in your book, you talked about when you're depressed, how do you keep moving forward? How do you work when you're depressed, when your emotions are all over the place, or you're feeling like you're nobody? Because depression to me is just is you beating yourself down. I know there may be other types of depression, but to me it's just you beat yourself so harshly so that now you have no energy and no desire at that moment to really do anything.
Gratitude.
What do you say to the person? How do they net? Gratitude?
Gratitude, gratefulness. Remember that we are living in a free society. And when you think about the families that are being murdered, and when you think about the families that are starving, and when you think about the people in our own community who are out here in the snow in their tents trying to stay warm, freezing to death, who are trying to get their next meal, their next drug, their next cigarette, trying to take care of their babies and work hard, can't get a job because they got a felony that they didn't do. Okay? Locked up for 8 months for having a seed and a branch on you, and we have the audacity to not get out of bed when we have lights and heat, and our parents are healthy and our children are healthy. Who are we to not get up and thank God? Even if our family is sick, even if we do have problems, you know, who are we to not thank God? Somebody is suffering more than we are. So that's what helps. Love, committing to the power of love, serving other people makes you feel good. You know, my guru Ram Dass, Neem Karoli Baba, he says, love people, feed people. So who are we to lay in bed with our cupboards full of food? You know what I'm saying? It's hard. And I get sad. I get depressed, but that's what, you ask me what gets me out of bed when I'm physically exhausted from pulling 18-hour days with no money and no time. I remember that God is good, you know? So that's what it is. And people are suffering, and there's no reason. It's just, you know, that's gratitude, thanking God, and remembering to serve others who are hurting, because that feeds you. Loving others feeds you. You know, when somebody asks you for a dollar, you got it. Hand it over. that's how we get back. You know what I mean? If we want money and we can't give it, you know, why do we deserve it? You know what I'm saying? So I don't want to go too deep into it, but those are the things about it.
We sometimes we need to be reminded. We know these things, but we need to hear them. That's why we listen to other people on the radio. We go to YouTube. We go to seminars. We read books because we do need to be reminded, because we live in arguably the richest country on the planet, okay?
Yes, we
do.
So
we don't have the same challenges other people. Some people could, they couldn't go to the supermarket and get much because there's not much at the supermarket. So there are
some things there's some villages
I think about.
Where there are no supermarkets.
There's some villages.
Right.
You know, they're, you know, 90% of the world doesn't live the way we do, which is important, which is why Black people, you know, we need to travel and we need to see the world. But we're worried about getting our kids that iPad and their Michael Jordan, spending $300 and they're upset, stressed out, trying to pay, you know, for first down coats and all this stuff, and we're sick. And it's just like in bed trying to do that. And it's just like, you know, why not take those kids out to the park for a jog? If we start training, you know, our families to eat better, to spend time, go to the Y, go swimming, cost $5, get a dog, go play, ride a bike. You know what I'm saying? We forget we are Black people and we're dying out here. And we got we got our SUVs and our $600 shoes and we met. Sorry, I'm getting a little rough, but nah.
We when people complain about the weather, you know, and there are people who live dodging bullets, and I say, I don't want to hear your champagne problems, okay?
Right.
So I know.
Or first world
about.
Problems. First world
right.
problems, right?
First
yeah.
world problems, right. And
right.
so we do have to get present to that, because we can fall into a place of, we can look in at a video, we can look at the Grammys, or we can look at the Oscars, and we see all these wealthy, rich people, right? And we can begin to think that we are like paupers, and we have reasons to be unhappy. It's because we're living in a culture that says material things are more important than almost everything else, and so we really have to work at it to remember that that's propaganda. It's a way
right.
so that if we feel bad enough about ourselves, then we will go
right.
shopping and buy stuff we don't need, and that will sit in our closets and gather dust. And that's the reality of it. And so that
instead of going to, you know, a community potluck, or instead of going to a farmer's market, you know, I noticed something. First of all, something's on my heart. I want to talk about real depression, because, you know, I feel that somebody wants to kind of hear about mourning when you do actually lose a person and you do have a real reason to hurt and be depressed and to heal. And lately what I've been doing, now I've done therapy and I've done shows on therapy, and I'm absolutely for it. I think our African-American community should be more open and willing to seek out therapists and groups therapy to be able to talk about their feelings and their pain. You know, I've also been working on meditation and prayer, and just taking an hour out of the day to kind of be alone and spend time and to process my thoughts and my feelings. So I do want to recognize the people who do actually suffer from depression as a chemical issue, and also, you know, the people who are hurting from losing a loved one, whether a breakup or a divorce or someone who died. I
you know, I want to say that, you know, love yourself and just trust in God for the most part, that it's going to be that time, it's going to heal and just get out of bed and take put one foot in front of the other.
Yes. Love is the root of all good. It's the root
it's
of all good. And then
it's
we can turn that love onto ourselves if we're not feeling loved by the world. And really, you can't feel anybody else's love anyway without feeling your own. I know that for sure. And so it has been a beautiful experience to have you on She Struts Radio.
I am so
delighted that I met you several years ago, that you just, I love your style. I love the way that you move through the world. And I just want to applaud you for being the young, beautiful example that you are. And I would love to stay connected with you. And I will be following you, watching what you do.
Sure.
Okay.
Thank you
so much. You're welcome. It's been my pleasure. And you have been listening to She Struts Radio. We were talking about the guts to live your dreams with Jordana. Jordana Elizabeth is her name. And we're going to go out with her tune, Winter. And then, and if you want to get a much clearer listen to, go to YouTube and type in her name. And I thank you all for listening, for joining us this evening, because you could have been anywhere else doing anything else, but you decided to be here with us. And I am your host, Deborah M. Ricks, and I look forward to sharing the evening with you again. Next week, Deletta Gillespie and Asia Maxton, they are at the helm, and we're going to be talking about self-love. So tune in.